Amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to Old Testament, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, stepping away from Nehemiah for this Lord's Day. We'll be back there, Lord willing, next week. By the way, that's over, if you're not familiar with the Bible, that's over on the left side of the Bible. And if you'll start there in Genesis and keep turning, you'll get to Kings and Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16. A recipe for Thanksgiving. A recipe for Thanksgiving, this time of year, think a lot about, as many of you do, is it good food a blessing? Those of you that didn't say that, you're just not thinking it is. You just didn't respond. You know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off? Nothing. So, I'm fixing my watch. But good food is such a blessing. And so, as I think this time of year about some of my favorite recipes, church I grew up at, she's long in heaven, but Miss Mildred Saunders dressing. The other ladies in the church, nobody would make dressing, they just quit. Because Miss Mildred's dressing, I mean, you'd call her and like, Miss Mildred, will you please make some dressing? And I had the privilege of serving as their deacon, and I remember going out to their shotgun house in Malvern with the, you know, the dogs up underneath it, and looked like the brick. It's like an asphalt shingle that made to look like brick, but sweet, sweet, godly folks. But Miss Mildred's dressing, Stephanie could attest to that. Scott and Pam could attest to that. It was outstanding. It was a wonderful, wonderful recipe. Jerry Rabb's collards. Any of y'all ever had Jerry Rabb's collards? He puts these peppers in them, and I'll call him up this time of year and like, hey, Jerry, I want some collards. And nobody else in my house eats those but me, so anyway. Stephanie's blackberry cobbler, but wonderful, wonderful. Any of you have favorite recipes? I can make the cobbler better than her, really. It's on a yellow sheet of paper, but I want you to think about this recipe for Thanksgiving. I'm not bragging in that. If that sounded like I was bragging, no bragging, but just fact, you know, fact. So roll out the, I'll quit. Anyway, so I want you to think about how I've been in the Hindu world, I've been in the Muslim world. Pagans are never thankful. Thanksgiving is a uniquely Christian concept. I have friends in England, and they always query me about Thanksgiving. Like, what is up with that? And I'm like, that flows from our Christian roots. But pagans are never thankful. The sign, Romans 1, the sign of a pagan is ingratitude. When you're around people that's ungrateful, you're hanging out with pagans or ignorant Christians. Recipe for Thanksgiving. I want you to think about that. Where else do you hear Thanksgiving? You just don't. It flows from Christ. It's a Christian thing. It's a uniquely beautiful Christian thing. Gratitude is being aware, listen, of what we have. And so this morning we're going to look at a recipe for Thanksgiving from 1 Chronicles 16. And it's a historical book, by the way. This would have in common with Nehemiah, same human author. Nehemiah is written by Ezra. Ezra's the writer of Chronicles as well, and he wrote a chunk of scripture, and so the same human author, God being the main author. And the occasion, look at 1 Chronicles 16 there at the start. The occasion is the Ark of the Lord being placed in the tent in Jerusalem. And so I'll get you in just a minute to stand for our main passage, but look at 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1. They brought in the Ark of God and placed it inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. By the way, if you're going to stay off bread, stay away from me. Eating bread's biblical. A loaf of bread. And if you're going to be a vegan, I'm not joining that crowd either. A portion of meat and a raisin cake. We're going to have meat and bread here in a little while. Verse 4, he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord. Even, look at this, he appointed them. Here's their job. It's a recipe. It's something they work at, where to do. Even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. He names them Asaph the chief, second to him Zechariah, then Jeiel, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliah, Benaiah, Obed-Edom, and Jael with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also Asaph played loud sounding cymbals. Benaiah and Jaaziel, the priest, blew trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, look at this. David first assigned to Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. I love that. Your job is to give thanks to the Lord, something we work at. And so what we've got is this beautiful, it's a beautiful psalm. It's probably titled that way in your Bibles. It's a beautiful hymn, and it's a compilation. So you would find, if you turned to Psalm 105, you'd find those first 15 verses flow, starting there in verse 8. He's also drawing from Psalm 96 and Psalm 106. So what's the tone of this psalm that we're going to look at that gives us a recipe for Thanksgiving? Is celebratory, is humble, right? It's this humble, celebratory, just pouring out, look, gratitude to God. And you've got three stanzas. I promise we're going to do the setup and then we're going to move quickly through this passage. Three stanzas to this hymn. The first stanza starts in verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 16 and it runs down to verse 22. All three stanzas start with commands and then the reasons. So in verse 8, you get this list of 10 commandments and then you get the reasons. The second stanza starts in verse 23. There you get the commands and the reasons. And the third stanza starts in verse 28 and goes to 34 with these commands and reasons. And so I want you to think about that Thanksgiving being commanded. And by the way, we said it's a sign of the pagans to be ungrateful. Lost people are ungrateful. Lost people don't give thanks. And David is challenging us. He's challenging us in God's word with this beautiful, beautiful recipe that we can follow that will empower and enable us to be thankful. I was there was some humor in it. I saw a video last week, and this lady, she just made such a wonderful, wonderful point. And she said, you know, people say they want a word from the Lord. They want a word from the Lord. You know, people want a word from the Lord. She said, y'all, he wrote 66 books. He'd given us a lot of words. So many times we would say, and I love that old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one. What, count your many blessings, see what the Lord has done. And so we've got here a roadmap. So at Thanksgiving, we don't need to be like, all right, y'all be thankful and necessarily close your Bible. I get that. You can open your Bible, and David right here gives you this beautiful, beautiful recipe that would be like, hey, here is how you can be really, really thankful. And by the way, use that and pray and branch from it. But what a really, really good grid we have, this beautiful, beautiful recipe for Thanksgiving. So if you're able, would you stand while I read our passage? Long passage. We're not going to dig deep into it, so we'll do a pretty quick flyover. You should be at lunch by 1:30. Amen. All right, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done, his marvels and the judgments from his mouth, O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion of your inheritance. When they were only a few in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Sing, second stanza, command, sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Here's the reasons: for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Third stanza, verse 28. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, I love, here's our response. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations. Purpose to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. What a passage. Our hearts rejoice in who you are. Lord, you are good. You are God alone. You have been so very good to us. Lord, we want to sing. We want to tell. We want to remember, Lord, how forgetful we are. Lord, we are so quick to complain, to criticize. God, we want to be mindful of how blessed we are. Lord, we repent of oftentimes being thankless, of being ungrateful, and we pray your Spirit, Lord, would take your word today and apply it to our hearts, and Lord, you would change us. You would change our attitudes, our perspectives, our mindsets. Lord, help us to see, Lord, how blessed we are, how rich we are in Christ. Lord, how much assurance we have, the grounds we have for hope. So, Lord, we ask you to work mightily in us, Lord, for your glory, Lord, for the exaltation of Jesus, for the building up of your bride, for the advance of your mission. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Recipe for Thanksgiving. So these ingredients, if you will, I've got seven of them, seven ingredients that'll, we'll just follow the flow of the passage. I sort of wanted to take a stanza at a time, and that was too big of chunks, but what are the ingredients that will be a recipe to help us practice Thanksgiving? Number one, focus on God. The first ingredient of Thanksgiving needs to be, and by the way, almost by default, if you just run into one of us in the hall and say, what are you thankful for? Most of the time, and this is, it's not bad, but it is. We'll be like, well, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my health. Praise the Lord for our family and praise the Lord for our health. But that is not where Thanksgiving should begin. Look at verse 8. The first recipe, the first ingredient in the recipe is a focus on God. David said, look, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Right? Jacob mentioned that in his prayer. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. If there's something good in us, it did not originate with us. And I love that in verse 8, and it's a subtle point, but it's a profound point. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Look, make known his deeds. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Glory in his holy name. And so this, the starting point for Thanksgiving, and by the way, isn't that one of the blessed benefits of coming together every Lord's Day is to reorient our focus. See, I will get my focus on everything else except for God. I'm sorry to tell y'all that, but I will. And then I read this passage, and David's like, Asaph, you're going to be the choir director. You're going to lead in this. Man, they got cymbals and they got trumpets. Said, here's what we're going to do. Listen, God the Holy Spirit had David write this down so the people, they need to put this on. And number one, Thanksgiving begins. The first ingredient in the recipe is focus on God. Second ingredient, put our whole hearts into it. Put our whole hearts into it. And I told you, here in the first stanza, I'm going to highlight all 10 of them for you. You've got 10 commandments. 10 commandments. By the way, 10 things the Lord is not suggesting we do, that God is commanding that we do. I grew up with daddy and a mom, and I was thinking about my dad, that he took commandments seriously, right? I think about, you know, a commandment from a parent. Man, that's a serious thing. We've got commandments. So look at verse 8 under this, put our whole hearts into it. Here's the first one. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. So that's a commandment. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Here's what we would say. I'm glad there's some folks called to be missionaries, and we need pastors and missionaries. They need to make known his name. No, everyone that knows the Lord is to work to make the Lord known. And I love what you see in this psalm, in 1 Chronicles 16, you see in this psalm, it's not like so many times, man, the enemy puts this on us, puts this fear and insecurity on us, like, what am I going to tell people about? You know, my testimony's nothing. Let me tell you, our testimonies might or might not be nothing, but our God is something. And this psalm is just like, tell people about God. That's irrefutable. Tell people what God has done. He talks about creation here, people. And then, by the way, if you're telling somebody about, isn't God amazing? Look at the creation he's made. It's like, I don't believe that, but whoo, it's the truth. People don't have to believe that. That's not my job. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. You've been going out and seeing these orange nights. We've been walking to dogs. Who is it that's bumping down that thermostat? It's like 85 degrees in the day. You go walking, you put your jacket on. Man, there's an awesome God directing all this, and I love this. So, number one, commandment, give thanks to the Lord. Second commandment, call upon his name. Third commandment, make known his deeds among the peoples. Fourth commandment, sing to him. We just did that. Fifth commandment, speak of all his wonders. I still say that. This convicts me, and it might convict you. What if you work for somebody for 20 years, and y'all were talking one day, and you're like, yeah, you know, I know you're not married. You're like, no, I'm married. He'd be like, dude, I've been working for you 20. When'd you get married? I got married 30 years ago. I did not know you were married. You never told me you were married. That wouldn't happen. So we'll speak of temporal things. We'll tell people, right, in a good, those blessings are good. We'll tell people about if our team wins, our grandkids hit the ball off the tee, or kids get, you know, or somebody gets married or engaged, all those things. But listen to this, speak of all his wonders. Next commandment, let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Y'all, we are able to be, we're called to be, we're commanded to be glad-hearted. We're to have glad hearts. Look at this. This is a command. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Verse 12. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done. Now, by the way, David's about to give them a list of God's wonderful deeds that he's done for them in the second stanza. Isn't that cool? But so what you've got is, you've got God's people commanded to put our whole hearts into it. Have you ever, it's a pet peeve of mine on a team or in a work situation or in a family situation. Have you ever been around somebody that's doing something half-hearted? Man, that just like, I would rather do something by myself than do something with someone helping me who's half-hearted. Get out of here. Right? And so look at what... Maybe that's too direct, but that's the truth. It like sucks the life out of you. Like, hey, will you help me do this? Yeah. Eeyore, you know. I'll help you. Just what? Go take a nap. You drive me crazy. I think God is saying that. Look, Give thanks, call, make known, sing, speak, glory, let the heart seek, remember. Do you get, David's like, put your heart into that. We know how this goes. There's a ball game coming on Saturday afternoon that we're a 50-50 divide, the Iron Bowl. How many of you put your hearts into that? I always joke with Stephanie, I'm like, hey, I bet some retirement money. She's like, oh, please don't. On the game. I didn't. That's purely a joke. But we put our hearts, we wouldn't know what it looks to put our hearts into stuff. But I want to tell you something. Growing up, this is a critique to us. Growing up, I've attended the blessing of attending church from like 9 years. I don't have recollect 9 years. 9 months before I was born to present. Sometimes church is the least energetic, most pouty-faced environment that you go in a given week, in some instances. God forgive us. The enthusiasm. David's like, y'all, get a load. And by the way, it's the recipe, which means we want to work at it. So here's, change my heart, oh God. Help my focus, number one, to be on you. God, help me to put my whole heart into it. So I was thinking about this challenging. Look at verse 9. Speak of all his wonders. Speak of all his wonders. So here's a question I have for you. Do we speak more words of either criticism or complaint, or do we speak more words of gratitude? If somebody just said, hey, we're going to go measure David's words. Y'all don't tell him we're doing this all week. We're going to be around him. Everybody can report back in. When he was around you, did he complain, bellyache, critique, or was he being grateful? And come back at the end of the week and we sat down and say, hey, well, you know, here's your report. Here's how grateful you are. Here's whether you have a heart of gratitude or not. So Lord, change our hearts. Put our whole hearts into it. Third, we should have a priority order. Prioritize that God has saved us in Christ. We should prioritize our greatest gift. I love that over in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, where Paul's instructing us to give generously, grace giving back to God. And he summarizes that whole statement. The greatest gift we have received is Jesus and salvation in Jesus. That's what David says. Paul says over there at the end of that discussion, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He's talking about Jesus. But prioritize that God has saved us in Christ. Now, I want you to look at verse 13. And by the way, we have, I'm looking at my glasses, we have a New Testament lens. So David is writing, looking toward this future king that's going to sit on David's throne, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's covenant that he's going to make with his people. So we look at this New Testament lens, and David gives them a history lesson in what God has done to save them. So look at verse 13, and you're going to see this reality. Prioritize that God has saved us in Christ. Verse 13, O seed of Israel, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. Y'all, we are the elect. We are the chosen one. We have been predestined. No one will be saved if he or she is not predestined, chosen, selected, elected, saved by God. And by the way, then that begs the question, what did we do to deserve that? Nothing. It is God's amazing grace. God has saved us because he loved us. I love that. Boy, if you can't rejoice in being his chosen ones, this is what it's not. The American way would be like, we're his chosen ones. You don't understand chosen. By grace, you have been saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of yourselves you would boast. So, O seed of Israel, verse 13, his servant, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. Now look at this. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant. These are all the reasons that we're supposed to do, 8 through 12. Here's all the reasons for the commandments. Look at verse 15. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So God's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, he also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Look, that's God's salvation plan, saying, Now, this is to Israel, and it's going to be, remember, out of Israel that God's going to bring Jesus, saying, verse 18, to you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion of your inheritance. Now, look at this. God does not need our help. I love verse 19. When they were only a few in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered about from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people. So we go read about the people of God and you go, that's not very impressive. But look what God did. God is the God who saved. He saved us in Christ. He permitted no man to oppress them. He reproved kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. That's the end of that stanza. So this beautiful, beautiful, the ground for all those commands. And by the way, if you want to have confidence in God's faithfulness in the future, open the Bible and read the account of God's faithfulness in the past. This, he's telling them to give thanks, call, make known, sing, speak, glory, have glad hearts, seek, and remember based on who he is and what he has done. And therefore, listen, God, since he's always been faithful, he will always be faithful. It's beautiful, beautiful. This prioritize that God has saved us in Christ. So this, I love verse 17. Look, he also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel, an everlasting covenant. This everlasting covenant, this eternal covenant. Now, by the way, we have all the Bible based on what Jesus Christ has accomplished in spite of our sin and alignment with God's righteousness. God has accomplished salvation for us in Christ. And those verses would tell us it is an irrevocable gift that we have been given. Listen, we are saved forever. That should be the top of our recipes to go in our Thanksgiving dish. Number four. Fourth ingredient, so clear in this Old Testament psalm, give God glory for the global scope of his mission. Give God glory. So what's one of our recipes? So many times we'll think in like buckets and we'll think like, well, I need to be thankful and then I need to be missional. And then I need to think about, no. If we're being thankful, we'll be thankful that God is missional and we'll join him in it. Look at verse 23. This is so profound. So we've got the occasion. Look at 16:1. I know I've got you jumping around. They brought the ark of God, brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent. So we've got God's chosen people. But drop down to verse 23. Sing to the Lord, who? All the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. We go out and sing and proclaim God's salvation tidings day to day. And we have such an inhibited mindset. It's like, well, I'm just going to be thankful to myself. David would say, that's not enough. It's not enough. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Now help me go live today. No. We proclaim that. I love that. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Look at the scope of that. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Now look at this. Here's our mission. You got the insert in your bulletin for the Christmas offering. Look at verse 24. Y'all, we get to tell of his glory among the nations. You know what? Coca-Cola, didn't it originate in Atlanta, Georgia? By the way, a lot of Coca-Cola money in Montgomery, I think, like old Coca, right? Montgomery Mobile. I don't know. Y'all read about it. But Coca-Cola, I have a point in telling you this. It originated in Atlanta, didn't it? I wish I'd been on that ground floor. All right, stock. But they've gotten Coca-Cola out beyond Atlanta, haven't they? I have had Coca-Cola in Iraq, Diet Coca-Cola. They call it Coke Light. I've had it in Honduras, in Guatemala, in Peru, in India. I've had it in Istanbul. You got to say, if you got something good and you got some zeal, you can get it out, can't you? I mean, think about it. From Atlanta, Georgia, to the ends of the earth, they have gotten Coca-Cola. Similarly, look at verse 24. Tell of his glory among the nations. So we go to these other nations, and by the way, we got great partners Praise the Lord for our partners. Lord, be with our partners. But we have a part in that too, with them, alongside them. I love that. God's people, look, people who are, back to my third point, who are prioritizing the blessing they've received that we're saved in Christ, we get y'all to go and tell the nations about God's salvation. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation. So I tell you what I love over and over in the Psalms. Just go do that and leave the results with him. By the way, that's going to glorify him. And then that's going to make Jesus known. Tell of his glory among the nations. So this, by the way, second stanza here is the command. Sing, proclaim. I'm in verse 23. Verse 24, tell. Right? His glory among the nations. We go tell all the nations God's, about God's glory, about who he is, about what he's done, his wonderful deeds among, look, all the peoples. So give God glory for the global scope of his mission. Here's what I want to say, y'all. I'm glad that the gospel of Jesus Christ extended to Aiken County, South Carolina. Aiken, South Carolina is where I was born. And then I moved to Early County, Georgia. Now, I'm going to quit telling you after that. And then I moved to Dothan, but I can't keep up with all the places. Aren't we glad his gospel wasn't just for Palestine? What if he just said, hey, I'm going to save me a people right here in Jerusalem, Judah. I'm going to save right here. That would have been his business. How good is God? So we go to people like, look, find somebody that can speak your language. Say, look, here's what we want to tell you. God is so amazing. Tell them that God is so amazing that he has made a way that they can be saved in Christ. And we've come to tell them about how they can be saved. How good is God? And we get to do that. Give God glory for the global scope of his mission. Second part of that point four, help us to be on mission to the nations. Fifth ingredient in our recipe, extol God's amazing attributes. Extol God's amazing attributes. Drop down to verse 25. Here's the reason. Do you see how the stanza work? It's just really, really simple and glorious and beautiful what David did. He writes his stanza and says, here's all the commands I'm going to list in stanza one. Here's the reasons. Second stanza starts here in verse 23. Here's the commands. Here's the reasons. So look at verse 25. Here's the reasons. Why should we sing to the Lord? Why should we proclaim? That's verse 23 and 24. Why should we go to these nations to tell people about him? Well, look at verse 25. For great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. And that nation, they need to be praising him. You go tell those people that God is great. Isn't that amazing? And by the way, he deserves their praise. And by the way, they got some notion in every nation of God. Will you tell them in verse 25 the reason that they need to know God is he is to be feared above all gods. Well, that sounds sort of exclusive, doesn't it? You Christians think y'all got a corner on the truth, don't you? Humbly, we do. I don't mean that. Don't back away from that. We do. Why is that? Look at verse 26. For all the gods of the people are idols. There are no gods at all. But the God we know, the God who has rescued us in Christ, let me tell you something. He made those heavens, you see. Do you see what he's doing? He's just taking knowledge of the Bible and glorifying God about who God is. And look at verse 27. So he's just unpacking this. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. So it's just it's beautiful. He's just laying out who God is for them. Extol God's amazing attributes. Six. We have a part in this sixth ingredient. Give back to God. Give back to God. Look at verse 28. It's the third stanza. You get commands again. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Verse 29. Ascribe, it's command to the Lord, the glory due his name. Command, bring an offering and come before him. Here's a command. Worship the Lord in holy array. So this is beautiful. Give back to God. What is it that we should give God? David would say, just give him what he is due. Isn't that beautiful? And by the way, that's another one of those. I think of how godless our culture is. So many times, I remember one time there were some people who came to a Discovering Logos class, and a relative of theirs told me after the class that, hey, they said they'll not come back to Logos. In class, you talked about giving, so they won't be back. You know what I say to that? Good. Don't come back. Here's what I say. Now, I want to shock you with that, and I want to work upstream. Get before the Lord and ask God to change your heart. Because if giving to God doesn't make sense, something's broken down somewhere. There's a core element at the foundation that's broken. Because if we have one biblical thought at all, we will be striving to give generously to Him. And by the way, if it offends you, the notion to give Him something, keep it. I mean that right out. Like people that love you tell you the what? I want you to enjoy your lunch. But I'm trying to challenge us in there. And what David is saying, if we're thinking right, look at this. You ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to His name. By the way, bring an offering. Like, wait a minute. God wants my money. Let me tell you, it's all His money. It's His air. My heart just beat another time at His good pleasures, His mercy, His grace, His provision. I am less than nothing, and so are you. We're recipients of divine grace and mercy and provision. And David said, listen, it's like we get to be on mission. I love this. Bring an offering before Him. It's like God said I could bring an offering to Him. I want to do that. Look what He's doing. He's inviting us. He's commanding us. Worship the Lord in holy array. Isn't that beautiful? Give back to God. I want to tell you something. You know this. It is more blessed to give than receive. And we are always upside down in that relationship with God because He's given us so much. Point number 7, and we're done. The 7th ingredient in our recipe for Thanksgiving: join with all creation in praise to God. Now this is the third stanza. It goes to verse 34, and you're going to see this big God theology that runs to verse 34, and then 35 and 36 is our response. Verse 30: tremble before Him, all the earth. Boy, He's not a God to be taken lightly, is He? He is not a co-pilot. He's not a homeboy, right? He is the living God. He is thrice holy, holy, holy. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. Let the heavens be glad. And look at this. Look, the earth, His creation, let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations. So it's almost like you go around, you're at the UN. You go around and say, what do we hear from your nation? The Lord reigns. We got a report from the United States. We say, the Lord reigns. Right? I love this. It's just beautiful, beautiful. Oh, the testimony of God's creation. End of verse 31. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all it contains. Let the field exult and all that is in it. Then the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord. Isn't that cool? I think of some of C.S. Lewis's work when the trees are talking. You know, what are they doing? Well, the trees of the forest are singing for joy before the Lord. What does that matter to me? Well, look at the end of verse 33. It matters to every human being, for He is coming to judge the earth. Wow. That's serious, isn't it? He is coming to judge the earth. Verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. By the way, we need to just burn that in our heart and mind, because when life is coming apart at the seams, we will doubt His goodness. He is good and He does good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness, look, it doesn't wear out. There's not an expiration date. His loving kindness is everlasting. And then I love this. He's like, what do we say to all this? David, so after we join with all creation in praise to God, he says, here's how we respond to that. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation. By the way, if you haven't ever called out to God to save you, I'm going to tell you, He will hear that prayer. If you will call out to Christ, if you will turn from your sins, so then say, look, save us. Here's a human response. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations. And I love this. This is so cool. To give thanks to your holy name. The recipe for thanksgiving leads us to the purpose of our lives. See, our purpose is not to build a big name, to build a big net worth, to build a big career, to build fame, to whatever. Our purpose is to live for Him. And I love this. That's much bigger. That'll last forever. Save us, O God. Gather us, deliver us, to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting, even everlasting. I love that. People just joined in and said what? Amen. And praise the Lord. Let's close it out. Love what Augustine said about this. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. Well, He can satisfy. All right, so what are we to do with this? Well, I know we went to the Old Testament, but it's pointing us to the new. Look to Christ. So the occasion of our passage was the Ark of God being brought into the tent, which signifies God's presence with His people. Christ, the King of Kings, has come in His incarnation when He came down here, took on flesh. Jesus has fulfilled God's righteous requirements. Jesus has sacrificed His body for our sins. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus was ascended. And Jesus is reigning on His throne. Jesus will return for those who are His, and He will return in judgment to the lost. So look to Christ. Repent of our sins this morning and trust in Christ. Second, this is where I've camped out some this week. Evaluate the degree to which we are wholeheartedly thankful. Evaluate the degree to which we are wholeheartedly thankful. Y'all remember that old song? My brain just strange, I know. Stephanie will attest to that. If you're happy and you know it, what? Your face will what? Surely show it. I've been thinking about that a lot this week. So, man, that stuff they put in your brain when you're little, it stays, doesn't it? If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. Here's what I'm going to say. If you're thankful, there will be obvious signs to those around you. If you're thankful. If you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it. So, you know, I wouldn't want y'all to be looking in on this, but I'm going to inquire. Stephanie, how thankful am I? How much do I complain or critique? Yeah, I think about our meal back there, you know. It's going to be a wonderful meal. But if you go through that line and you're like, well, I don't know who made that. It's some sweet potato stuff with some pecans on top. It's outstanding, Stephanie. Grandmother's was better. Really? Our mindset. Here's what David would challenge us to say. Listen to his verbs. Give thanks, call, make known, sing, speak, glory, be glad, seek, remember, sing, proclaim, tell. Have y'all got Lord, have you got a suggestion box? Because how you been working in my life and in my marriage, in my home, in my career? Man, you need to talk, you know, and that's really hard. Maybe it is really hard, but you know what God is? He's good. He's all these things. So I'm not diminishing hard circumstances, but I want to tell you something. We can grow in gratitude. And I think David would say, we can grow in gratitude. And so evaluate. Or maybe you can't. Maybe you are. But evaluate. I can grow in gratitude. How about that? Evaluate the degree to which we are wholeheartedly thankful. Man, I want to ring out 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 34. And I want to grow to be wholeheartedly thankful. If you bump into me, what does it say? If you squeeze lemon, you get what? If you bump into me, I want you to get thanksgiving and gratitude. Third, as we give thanks, this is a shift a little bit I want us to do. As we give thanks, give priority to spiritual blessings. I still say first thought. It's almost like forgive our first thought. What are you thankful for? Well, lunch. That's great. I'm thankful for lunch too. which blessings have we received that'll last 100 billion years? Maybe we put those at the top of the list. Right? So I can grow in, as we give thanks, give priority to spiritual blessings. Now, don't be Barney Fife on people like, I'm thankful for my wife. Like, well, you need to be thankful for your spiritual. Nah, don't do that. I'm thankful for my wife. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful that King Jesus has saved me forever. And I'm going to be with him in glory, with y'all, with him forever in heaven when this life is done. And they're going to take this body that gets put in the grave, and Jesus is going to raise it up and give me a forever glorified body. That Jesus has forgiven me for all my sinful, wicked words, thoughts, and actions. He nailed them to the cross, and he's not holding them against me. I'm thankful for that. You're a bad guy. Like, I am. He saved me anyway. Man, so as we give thanks, give priority to spiritual blessings. And then fourth, I love what he does at verse 36. Well, he does it all the way through. He opens and closes. Verse 8, give thanks to the Lord. But look how he closes out verse 36. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, I love this, amen. And look what they did, praise the Lord. So Lord, we want to praise you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the passage we have studied today. Lord, we want to be thankful, and Lord, it is both encouraging but convicting. Lord, do a reboot. We pray that you will do a reboot in our thinking, our orientation, and Lord, we want to be wholehearted in our love for you and our, Lord, and our being thankful. Help us to remember, help us to sing, help us to proclaim, help us to tell, help us to ascribe, Lord, all those verbs that challenge us, Lord. You are good, Lord. We say amen to the passage that we have read. You do good. We thank you for the mission, Lord, the covenant with Abraham. But Lord, it didn't stop with Abraham, and we are sons of Abraham if we're in Christ. And Lord, that work looked little and small, looked in jeopardy so many times, and your people were few in number, and you were faithful to honor your word, fulfill your promises. And thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the church, the blood-bought bride of Christ. Thank you for Logos. Thank you for our forever salvation in Jesus. Lord, not something we purchased, not something that we have behaved or been moral enough to accomplish, but by your grace and mercy and the shed blood of Jesus, we've been saved. And so help us to tell people how great you are, to proclaim your wonders, to tell people about who you are and what you've done, and grow us, Lord, to be a more grateful people. Thank you that you've given us a church family to love and be part of, and pray even as in a few moments, Lord, as we gather together, pray you'd grant us lavish grace to be able to fellowship and rejoice in Jesus and rejoice in each other and to be knit closer together and to be an encouragement to each other. Lord, life will beat us up. Lord, we all live in the world, and there are trials and temptations and difficulties and burdens, and Lord, we know you're the source of our hope, but you've also equipped us to be burden bearers to each other. And so you'd pray you'd grant us a good rest of our day together. Pray you'd work mightily in these moments, God, for your glory and the building up of this church family. In Jesus' name, amen.